Kevin, welcome to Talk Satellite here at World Satellite Business Week in Paris.
Thanks very much, Kevin. It's great to join you here in Paris and what's been a very productive World Satellite Business Week.
12 months since we last spoke. What's new? What's the state of the nation at ETL Systems?
Well, I'm pleased to say that ETL's doing very well. We had another strong year of growth last year, and this year's looking very much the same in terms of a positive outlook. I've been in post since January 2023, and a significant proportion of that time has been spent with our customers, understanding the market drivers, and making sure that we're aligned, we drive the business forward. As a growing company, a major focus has been on continuing to develop our people and being able to support our customers' needs, both from a technology standpoint and from an operational quality execution perspective. We gained Great Place to Work accreditation at the end of last year, and this very much reflects our commitment to our people. In terms of the market, the SATCOMS market faces several challenges that impact sort of growth and adoption. And as we know, one of the significant challenges is the high initial capital investment required for the deployment of the communication infrastructure. Building and launching satellites into orbit is and developing ground stations and maintaining that entire network require substantial capital expenditure. And the disruption caused by Starlink and many other operators are seriously considering their models at present and those major capital investments in response to that competitive landscape. This has obviously influenced a number of large acquisitions and mergers we've seen over the last couple of years, but it definitely feels like that's starting to embed in the market and it's moving forward. Knowing way forward. Now, a priority for us is making sure that we are there to support that ongoing growth and that we're investing in the right technology that puts us in the right place to support those customers, irrespective of how quickly or which direction of travel the market actually moves. We're continually assessing that and heading in the right direction in a challenging and quite dynamic environment. It's an exciting time for all of us working in that technology and infrastructure associated with the ground segment in particular for us. And really, after the last 2 decades of pretty sort of slow progress, things are really starting to change at a pace. And we're happy to be a key part of delivering that change.
Ups and downs in the market. What's your take on business trends, opportunities and challenges?
In terms of trends, there's a lot more exploration at the moment in terms of where the market's going. Starlink has been a major disruptor, and I think that will continue to remain the case for probably the next few years. I think a lot of the consolidation in the market shifted that focus as to where some of the big players, big operators are actually going with their strategies. We've seen that slowed some decision-making down in terms of beginning projects. Things have been delayed. That's starting to unlock at the moment, and we're seeing that start to get moving again, as I think some of those changes are starting to sort of come to fruition and plans are starting to be developed. Digital is a big area for us in terms of virtualization of the ground segment. That's now definitely moving forward, and we're getting much more interest in terms of the digitization of RF in the ground stations, more so at an early stage just to prove out the technology and demonstrate how that's working and how it could work. But there's definitely more interest in shifting both in the ground station and in the terminal and edge environment.
ETL has been at the forefront of the digital IF revolution in SATCOMS. How does the analog digital landscape look to you at the moment?
I think in general we're looking at data demand requirements going up significantly. There's shifts in terms of bandwidths, frequency ranges moving up to accommodate the bandwidth required. What we're now starting to see is that real shift into what digitization can provide in the ground segment in terms of additional capacity and flexibility. We've been very focused on the transition with the marketplace, making sure that we've got the right technology at the right time. We've been working on this alongside our traditional RF business for the last 4 or 5 years, and we're very much in the position now where we're demonstrating RF and digital systems sitting alongside each other and have been doing so now for the last 12, 18 months. I think that the market is now really actively starting to explore more digital options. The availability of software modems is becoming much broader than it was 12 months ago. They're starting to come to market, and this is where the real benefit of digital IF comes to bear. I mean, there will be discrete applications, I think, that will probably utilize the technology to start off with before mainstream adoption. Probably majority down to the cost of network architectures and a complete infrastructure shift from a capital expenditure point of view. But we still see that that's actually moving in that direction, probably at a faster pace now than it was 12 months ago. A big part of the adoption will also be the support of the integration to terrestrial networks. And again, we're looking at this in terms of how 5G NTN integrates and obviously how that's going to play through into 6G and future network architectures.
Would you like to give information on the development of that technology and how it came about?
There's a couple of areas where we focused on in terms of the development of digital technology. We've recently, in the last 12 months, released our Genus 5000 digital platform, which is a digitizer and integrated frequency converter all in one system. This came about on the back of some funding from the European Space Agency. So we did this under a development under the ARTES funding program. That was actually completed earlier this year, and we've completed that product, and that's fully released now and in the market. We've also been looking at the other opportunities in terms of digital developments, and recently we won some funding from the UK Space Agency as part of the NSIP program to take that technology and apply it in more of an edge and terminal environment. We're currently in progress with that development and looking for opportunities to implement that technology, and currently engaged with a number of customers talking about how that can be applied.
There's a lot of talk about digital currently, but analog RF still has a huge part to play. Where do you think the industry is heading next in terms of analog systems?
In terms of the overall environment, I think the market has a strong move towards a virtualized environment. There's a huge number of benefits in terms of flexibility and interoperability as we look at where things are going in terms of multi-orbit, multi-service operations. In terms of RF, there is a huge RF infrastructure already there. We're not seeing that customers are going to be ditching their existing systems. Where we're seeing is probably a hybrid environment where digital technologies will be implemented alongside existing RF systems. In truth, we're still seeing for major projects entirely RF subsystems, because the actual network architecture is still set up for a true RF environment. I mean, I feel that the RF and digital hybrid operating environments are going to become much more commonplace as we move forward. We're also still seeing huge numbers of projects that are still RF only, as the network architectures are not there to support full digital integration. There's still a cost point challenge in terms of RF systems versus digital. On a like-for-like basis, there is still a price to pay for digital. That really, for me, is where the real adoption at scale will happen, when that crossover point comes from RF systems for an equal like-for-like on a digital platform. I think we're a little way off that happening at the moment, but again, we're very much looking at this from a perspective of, as and when it does come, we are ready to support that in terms of our customers and in terms of the market. We've been keeping a close eye on how this is developing, and we've got a number of engagements with customers at the moment where discrete end-to-end links may be tested in a digital environment, but I think that full-scale adoption is still a few years off. Yeah, really on the RF side, it's about supporting the uplift in frequencies to the likes of QMV and potentially E-band, and we're currently making sure that we don't neglect our development on the RF side to support those requirements moving forward.
Standardization, there's various players in the market or coming into the market. What's your take on how that's all going to play out?
Standardisation, I mean, we support the DIFEE consortium, and Simon Swift, Engineering Director for Digital Technologies, is the chair of the Standards Committee. We see this as being a joined forces exercise between market players is going to really be the big driver in terms of scale and, again, recognising the competitive landscape. The marketplace is very much a consolidating environment, and working together is really going to be the way forward. A collaborative approach to a single standard, or maybe a couple of standards depending on how things go with 5 and 6G terrestrial integration. Standardisation across that is the only real way this is going to work at a scale level.
Eutelsat recently announced the sale of its ground segment business. Smaller satellite operators are looking to partner together to offset the Intelsat SES mega deal. How does all that play out for a company like ETL Systems?
For us, we very much operate in an operator agnostic environment. So the business environment, consolidation, customers changing, we try to stay in contact with all of those customers that we can help serve in terms of the ground architecture. Most of those customers we already deal with. If they're changing shape, again, it's about staying close to those customers, making sure that we understand where their plans are going, what their roadmaps look like, and making sure that we align ourselves to that. But we've been fortunate that we have very good relationships with many of those customers, and now more so engaged with a number of the new entrants into the market as well, which have slightly differing requirement sets. So again, it's helping shape our technology roadmaps to satisfy those requirements of those new entrants and the shift in the nature of that.
Kevin, thank you very much. We wish you every success.
Thanks very much, Kevin.